All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Chaf Beis. So we left off on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines down from the top. Last word on line, Va'azda. Va'azda V'Latameh. So we'll say again, if you remember, so we had a machlokes in the Gemara about what the nature of the prohibition of, or the issue of Matbilin Kli Agabe Kli. The Mishnah said you can go ahead and immerse one kli inside of another kli. That works for Truma, but it doesn't work for Kodesh. So we had a machlokes between Rava and Rabbi Eva in terms of what the nature of that prohibition was. So Rabbi Eva said, again, because it's a chatzitz issue, and Rava said it's not a chatzitz issue, rather, it's an issue of Shema Yatpil or Shalo Yatpil Machtin Vitzinos Beklish in Bafiv Kishval Feres Hanud. Rava's issue was that if you go out and you do Kli Agabe Kli or Kli Besoch Kli, you may end up going ahead and immersing the needles and the spinning hooks and the utensil that ultimately has less than the size of a skin bottle's tube, an opening such a small size would not allow the waters of the mikveh to combine with the waters on the inside. Let's just before we go on, we dedicate our learning today as is chos for refuah shalema for Yaakov David ben Avigail. So the Amar Rava sal vegar gusani shemila and kelim vit bilan. Because we'll say again, Rava says that if you have a basket or a gargusani also is a. If you look at Rashi, he says gargusani is sal godol ma'od shebo hayu misaninin hayayin be'is habatzir. So again, literally it's like a sieve. So a basket or a sieve that you filled up with utensils, vit bilan, and then you immerse them, tahorin. Ultimately, again, it is tahor. Umikva shecholku b'sal, and if you look at Rashi, tahorin af lekodesh, Verava latame de uki gzera mishum kli sheim befiv kishofaris anud, ubisala gargusani lekalamechash lahaki. Sabosai, again, lemaisa Rava paskins that it's tahar, and it's tahar even for Kodesh purposes, because remember again, Rava holds when you have this basket or you have this strainer, because there are wide openings on top, there is no issue that you may come to go ahead and immerse the smaller utensils in another kli that has a much smaller spout. So the Gemara says, however, umikvah shechilku b'sal v'gargusani, but if you have a mikvah, and you literally divide the waters of that mikvah with the sal, with the basket, or with the gargusani, with the sieve, the strainer, hatova shamla also lo tvila. So we'll say that sal, that basket, or the gargusani actually creates a chatzitza, or I should say actually creates a mechitza. We call it a mechitza within the mikvah, and actually splits the waters of the mikvah, so that now again the mikvah is effectively not kosher because the mikvah doesn't have the requisite shear. The Gemara says the ha'ara kula chalchule mechalchola, because after all again you could look at land chalchule mechalchola literally means is porous. Uba inon diika mem saba makom ach echad. And yet you require that you have 40 sa'a in one place. So I will say what Rav is pointing out over here is the, you remember the sal and the gargusani. Both are porous. So one might have thought that because of that, again, they don't really create an effective mechitza in the water itself, and all the waters is considered to be the same mikvah, to which Rava says, no, it's not true. It does create an effective mechitza, because in order for a mikvah to be kosher, all 40 of the water must be pooled in one place. V'hani mili b'klitar. So we'll say that was just an aside point. V'hani mili b'klitar. And when do we say that if you go ahead and immerse the kli, that which is inside of it becomes tar? Look at Rashi. V'hani mili, da'aminan hamatpil b'kli she'in b'fiv kishvaferes hanud t'meim. So we'll say, remember now the Gemara is going back for just a moment. When do we say, if there was one piece that everybody seemed to agree on, it was the idea that if you have a utensil that has a small enough opening, the opening is smaller than the skin bottle tube, that lamaisa, any utensils that are inside of it that you are immersing in a mikvah. So again, I have my utensil that has a very small opening, smaller than the size of the skin bottle tube. I put needles in there because I want to be matire them. So Rava said, not Rava, the Gemara seems to say, that lamaisa, again, immerse them in the mikvah, does not purify the needles inside because the opening is too small to allow the waters of the mikvah to connect with the waters on the inside of the kli. Now the Gemara qualifies that statement. When is that so? Hani mili b'kli tahar. Ava b'kli tamei Migo de salka tevila lukule gufei demana salka nami lekelim de is bay. So this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, when is that true? That's only true when the kli itself, the utensil with the small opening, is tahar, meaning that the utensil with the small opening itself is fine. It doesn't need to be tovel. It's just the items on the inside that need to be tovel. That's when we say that if the hole is so small, smaller than a skin bottle tube, that it does not allow the waters of the mikvah to combine with the waters on the inside. But if the kli itself that contains the needles itself is tameh, and therefore what? You're immersing that in the mikvah to purify it. So since the tefillah works for the kli, It also works for anything on the inside, even though the opening itself is still quite small. This none, because under the Mishnah, kelim. It's according to everybody. So the Gemara says this none, kelim shemilon ved milon. Because we learned in the Mishnah that if you have utensils that you filled up with other smaller utensils and you immerse them, Hari Elu Tahorin, they are tahar. V'im lo taval, but if it was not immersed, Mayim ha-me'uravim ad shi'iyu me'uravim kishvaferes hanud. The waters that are to combine, meaning the waters of the mikvah that are to combine with the waters on the inside of the kli, are only going to go ahead, are not considered mixed until there's an opening the size of the skin bottle tube. So the Gemara says, "My Kamar, what does this Mishnah actually mean? V'im lo tavel, excuse me, my Kamar v'im lo tavel. What do you mean when you say if you did not immerse it? Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means to say. V'im eno tzarech lahat bilo. If the kli itself that contains, let's say, the needles on the inside, if the kli itself does not require tevila, meaning the kli itself is tahar, umayim ha'me'uravin." Then the waters will only be able to mix if what? If lemaisa, the opening of the kli is the size of the skin bottle tube. So I will say, what we have over here is a very interesting and important qualification. So what the Gemara seems to say is like this, that lemaisa, when do you require an opening the size of a skin bottle tube in order to allow the waters of the mikvah to be able to metahir the smaller kelim that are inside the utensil? That's only if what? That's only the maisa, first of all, they're on the inside, and number two, the kli itself, we'll call it the receptacle kli, is tahar. Because then the receptacle kli is tahar, it doesn't need to be immersed. Therefore, the maisa, the waters of the mikvah, are only considered to enter into the kli when it has an opening of a certain size. But if the receptacle kli itself is tameh and needs to be toveled, then the same way that the waters of the mikvah work to be metahir, the receptacle kli, they automatically work to be metahir the utensils that are on the inside, even if what? Even if the opening is smaller than the skin bottle tube. And that seems to be that everybody is agreeing with that qualification. So Gemara says, V'had Rava Rabbi Ila Tanahi. Now the Gemara says, the reality is that the machlokes in Rava and Rabbi Ila is a machlokes tanoim. Remember again, the machlokes Rav and Rabbi Ila is how to understand the Mishnah's prohibition of kli v'soch kli for kodesh purposes. This sanya, because we're in the Braisa, sal v'gar gusani shemila and kelim. If you have a basket or a strainer, I'm using that word strainer because that's how Rashi described it. Strainer that you filled up with kelim vit bilan and you immersed it in the mikvah. Bein l'kodesh, bein l'truma tahorin. Whether you immersed it for truma or whether you immersed it for kodesh, the kelim are tar, meaning the kelim on the inside. Abishol Omer, l'truma avalo l'kodesh. Abishol, on the other hand, says it works for truma, but it doesn't work for kodesh. Ihachi truma nami leman kaminon. So the Gemara says, well, one second, let's analyze this. First opinion says that when you immerse these utensils within the Salah Gargusani, it works bein the Kodesh, bein the Truma. Abishol says, Truma it's good, Kodesh it's not good. Which Rabbi said would seem to line up with Rabbi Ila and Rava. So the Gemara says, who exactly is going to be using it ultimately for Truma? Chavirim. So Bosai, again, where the assumption over here is that you'd be talking about for Chaverim. Now Bosai, what are Chaverim? Chaverim are individuals who know the halacha, who know the halacha. Look at Rashi. Leman kamrin al chaverim. Lemi anu omrim hora azu. Shelo yat bil kli bisoch kli. People say, who exactly are we handing down this ruling that you should not go ahead and immerse one utensil inside of another utensil? L'chaver. People say, this is only someone, l'chaver, essentially, we won't necessarily call him a Talmud Chacham, because you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham to be a chaver, but a chaver is someone who is meticulous with halacha. So in this for a chaver, Rashi says, De'ilu ama aretz lo asi kaman l'mishal, because people say, generally, an ama aretz does not even show up to ask the question. Hilchach, l'truma leka l'mechash, Da made the yediyah shir irav mikvos, or the inyan kavedo shall clean nami em kaved humakbinos. So let's analyze this. So if we're talking about, so who this entire ruling is really only applicable in general for chaverim, for people who are a little bit more meticulous with the halacha. Chaverim meida yadi. Now chaverim know the halacha. Now we'll say, what does mean chaverim know the halacha? So chaverim know that if you're going to go ahead and immerse one utensil inside of another utensil, you have to be careful that the inner utensil is not so heavy that it blocks the water from coming in contact with the outer utensil. Chaverim also know that what? That if you're going to immerse smaller utensils in a larger utensil, you need an opening the size at least of the skin bottle tube, kishvaferes anod, in order to be able to allow the waters to combine. So if that's the case, ihachi, Kodesh Nami. If that's the case, that we know that Chaver and know the Halacha Rabosai, so then why don't we allow you to be Tovel, Kli Besoch Kli, for Kodesh purposes as well? After all, again, then the Chaver will be careful to make sure that, again, one Kli doesn't weigh against the other, and the Chaver will be careful, ultimately, again, to ensure that if small utensils are inside of a large utensil, that the opening is at least the size of Shofar Esanot, to which the Gemara answers, Chazili Ama Aretz, Va'azil matbil. The concern is that if we allow chaverim to do this for kodesh, an ama aretz will see this and will do it as well. And Rabbi said the concern will be that what? That the Amaretz will see it and do it, but the ama aretz will not know how to be careful with the details of the law. So, well, if that's the case, that you're about an ama aretz seeing it and doing it, trumanami chazile. Right? Trumanami, chazile ama aretz, v'azil matbil. But if that's the case, why shouldn't you be concerned that if the ama aretz sees the chaver doing this for truma purposes, that he'll go ahead and do it also for truma purposes, to which the Gemara says, we're not concerned about that. Lo mekablina al menayhu. We do not eat truma from an ama aretz. Meaning, Abosai, apparently, if you're a kohen, and ama aretz gives you truma. So the truth is, you politely decline that truma because lemaisa. We'll see what he does with it. Because lemaisa again, you cannot assume that truma was prepared or handled in a state of tara. To which the Gemara says, okay, kodesh nami lo nakbil minayu. Fine. So don't accept. So meaning, just allow him to do whatever he has to do with this kodesh, and don't go ahead and accept it from him. Also, to which the Gemara says, havile eva. You can't do that because if you don't accept his kodesh from him, also meaning if the ama aretz went ahead and prepared certain sacrificial items and you don't go ahead and take it from him, then what's accepted from him, you'll create animosity. Trumanami havila eva. But if you're concerned about animosity, Rabosai, refusing his truma, we'll also go ahead and create animosity. To which the Gemara says, no, lo ichbasle, we don't care. What does that mean, we don't care? Da'azil yohivle lekoin ama aretz. Because Rabosai, you know, interestingly enough, there is someone who will take the truma of an ama aretz, and that's who? A coin ama aretz, right? Just because you're a coin doesn't mean you're smart, right? Doesn't mean you're well versed in halacha. So the truth is, there are kohanim who are ame aretz also. So a coin who knows better will not take truma from an ama aretz, but a coin who does not know better, coin ama aretz, will take truma. So we'll say, in other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is that lemaisa, there is an outlet for ama aretz truma, but there is not necessarily an outlet for ama aretz kodesh, as we'll see in right now. Therefore, where the Gemara is holding right now is essentially we're okay letting an Ama Aretz prepare Truma, even though, again, the Maisa, A Kohen who is a Chaver would not want to eat it because there's an outlet for him to give it to a Kohen Amar. So also remember again, we're dealing over here with rabbinic law. Obviously, if we had a chashash, if we had a concern that it's actual biblical tumah, then of course there's nothing to talk about. You're not allowed to eat it. These are rabbinic concerns. So therefore, again, the Gemara essentially seems to say is that Lamaisa, we accept the truma of the Amaretz because there's an outlet for him to give it to the Kohen Amaretz, but we can't allow an Amaretz to involve himself in certain Kodesh preparations because there is no outlet for him. Uman Tana de Chayish Leiva, who is the Tana ultimately who is concerned for Eva, for animosity? Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Yossi, also that's very interesting. The Sanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Mipne Ma Hakon Ne'emanun Al Taras Yain Vishemikhaimos Ashana. Well, this is actually very interesting. We'll see this Gemara later on. Rabbi Yossi says, why is it? Well, this is actually very interesting. Let's say an Amaret shows up to the Beis HaMikdash and he shows up with a carbon mincha or he shows up with a nesach. It's an asachim offering, a wine libation, or a karb mincha, that certain minachos have oil. Why is it that we assume that lemaisa, that the wine or the oil that he's bringing is tahar? Right? He's an amaretz. Why could we assume that? Kedei shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad holich ubone bama liatzmo. Because it will say, if we don't accept sacrificial items from the amaretz, what's going to end up happening? Everyone's going to go build their own bama. They're going to build their own beis hamikdash. It will say, a breakaway. Right, the breakaway. Right, what's going to happen if they don't like what's happening? Again, they're going to break away. They're going to do their own thing. You know, Jews are Jews. Right, they're going to do their own thing. And what's going to happen? Vesorit para aduma la'atzmon. They're going to do their own para aduma as well. Meaning, he's using a little hyperbole over here, but he's saying if you don't accept their karbanos, if you don't enfranchise them, if you don't go ahead and make them feel as part of the collective, ultimately, again, they're going to go off and do their own thing. So essentially, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi says, that really we shouldn't accept the yayin and the shemen of the Amei Haaretz, but for the collective good, we have to go ahead and accept in order that they don't go ahead and start their own thing. Amra Papa, Kimam Mikablina, sorry? We're not finished with Kachim. Amra Papa, Kimam Mikablina Ha'idna Sadu Seme Amaretz. We'll say, Sima Dira Papa says, today, according to his opinion, do we accept testimony from an Amaretz? Kiman Kirabi Yossi. Because I'm also saying, at the end of the day, we pass like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says again, same idea that if an Amaretz walks into Beis Din, we'll say as much as again, one would be concerned about accepting the testimony of an Amaretz only because if someone is not knowledgeable in terms of what testimony means, what the impact of testimony is, in halach, you know, testimony is more than just simply a retelling of certain events that you witness. It's an understanding of the circumstances that you saw as well. If someone has an Amaretz, perhaps they don't know everything, and therefore, again, the Maisa shouldn't accept their testimony. But again, Rabbi Yossi says, for the communal good, you cannot not accept the testimony of the Amaretz. Okay, so we'll say, so the Gemara is holding right now is that Lamaisa, the reason we don't allow the tefillah of Kli B'soch Kli by Kodesh is that we're concerned that Amaretz is going to engage in this process, and whereas a Chavar will know that if you immerse Kli B'soch Kli, there are ways you have to do it in order to ensure that the tefillah works for the outer Kli, the Amaretz will not know about those halachas, therefore again, will not affect the proper tefillah, and therefore will compromise the integrity of his kachim. And since we accept the kachim of an Amaretz, therefore it's easier for us just to legislate that you cannot be tovel kli besoch kli for kachim purposes. We let you do it by truma, because we, meaning a chaver, will not accept the truma of an Amaretz, but that's okay, that's not going to cause eva, it's not going to cause animosity. Why? Because the Amaretz could always give it to who? His Kohen friend, who is an Amaretz as well, and he'll accept it. So now the Gemara says the following. V'nechosh l'sheila. Rabbo said, perhaps we should be concerned about borrowing a kli. Look at Rashi. First white line of Rashi. V'nechosh l'sheila. Lo nitba kli b'so kli l'truma dilma chazi Amaretz v'avitachi v'anu sholin es kilein. M'sham shemayin. Rabbo says, so Rapapa says, this is not Rapapa, excuse me. So the Gemara says, there's another issue. What's the issue? So according to what we're holding right now, you are going to allow an Amaretz to be tovel a kli b'so kli for truma purposes. for truma purposes. Why? Because he could always give it to his friend, the Kohen Ha'aretz. But what about the fact that Talmidei Chacham, their Chaverim, sometimes borrow utensils from Amei Ha'aretz? And if that's the case, again, a Chaver may end up borrowing a utensil that what? That was Tovod Kli B'soch Kli, for truma purposes. And Lamaise, now it's not really a Tahar Kli. Aren't we concerned for that? That again, somebody else is going to borrow the Kli. Forget about just the truma, or forget about Kachim. Forget about just the truma. What about the fact that somebody's going to borrow the Kli? To which the Gemara says, this nan. Kli cheres matzil ala kol. That's actually very interesting. A kli cheres is an earthenware utensil. So an earthenware utensil, matzil ala kol, literally means, a kli cheres is actually interesting in that it goes ahead and it could serve as a barrier for other forms of tumah. So for example, a kli cheres only becomes tameh on the inside. It doesn't become tameh on the outside. So if you were to take a dead sheretz, a dead rodent, and you were to mamish push it against the outside of a kli cheres, the kli cheres is tahar. You were to put the kli cheres on top of a mace, the kli cheres is tahar. The only time a kli cheres becomes tummy is if you were to take a rodent and you put it inside the kli, in the airspace of the kli, then lemaise again, the kli and everything inside of it becomes tummy. It's a special halacha by a kli cheres. So that's what it means. It's kli cheres masil ala kol beisilo. A kli cheres has the ability to shield everything from tuma. These are the words of Beis Hillel. I will say, so for example, the Rashi points out the case over here is like this. If you can imagine, if you have a two-story house, and on the downstairs there's a corpse, there's a mace, somebody died. And the way to get upstairs is through like a skylight, like an opening in the second floor. And so that said, so normally, Tumah's Olo Bokas, Tumah goes up, which means that there's a mace on the first floor, and there's an opening from the first floor to the second floor, the Tumah goes up, and will be Metame, everything on the second floor that's under the same roof as the mace. However, let's say you go and you take a kli cheres and you plug up that opening from the first floor to the second floor. The halacha is that the tumah is contained on the first floor and does not ascend. Does not ascend. Those are the words of the Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, no. Eino matzil ela al ochlim va'al mashkim va'al kli cheres. So Beis Shammai says that no, a kli cheres only has the ability to shield food, drink, and other earthenware utensils from tumah. From Tuma. Okay. So Rashi says over here, fine. Sigmar says, Amrulam Beisil Beishamai. So Beisil says Beishamai. What are you talking about? Mipnei ma amru Beishamai, mipnei shehu tamei, agabi amaretz. Ve'ein kli tamei chotzitz. So we'll say, what's Beishamai's logic? So Beisil says, what are you talking about? Beishamai says, I'll tell you why. Because the kli of an amaretz is normally considered to be tamei. Right? Again, the kelim of an Am Ha'aretz in general have a chazaka of tumah. Look at Rashi, Shu Tamei, Hakli Azeh, Hayotamei Mitchilasa Kodim Shnasna Am Ha'aretz Al Pi Aruba. I will say the assumption is that that kli that belongs to an Am Ha'aretz is tumah from the beginning because an Am Ha'aretz is not vigilant with the laws of tumah and tara. Therefore, I will say if you have a kli that is tumah, that kli lacks the ability to be chotetz, to serve as a barrier in front of tumah. Amru Lahem Beisila. Beisil says, but your shita is not symmetrical is the wrong word, but your shita is not totally coherent. Why? V'halo tihartim ochlim u'mashkim shebesocho. So they both say, so Beishama's shita is like this, that a kli cheres will not serve as a barrier to tumah. So meaning, let's say again, the tumah from the first floor will go to the second floor, but if, let's say again, you have some food or drink within that kli cheres, then what? The food or drink will remain tahar. So Beisil says, Hashem, your shita doesn't make sense. If the kli is tameh, and the kli itself does not serve as a barrier, then why should the food or drink that is inside of it ultimately be considered to be tahar? To which the Gemara says, Amru lahem Beis Shammai, kishetiharnu ochlinu mashkin shebesocho. When we went ahead and we said that food and drink inside of the kli cheres is tahar, you know what we're doing? Liatzmo tiharnu. I will say, you know who we would say that it's tahar for? It's tahar for the Am Ha'aretz. Rashi points out over here, Liatzmo tiharnu, hu yochlein, the Am Ha'aretz could eat it, sharei chaverim bedelin mehen, because chaverim won't touch this anyway, bedelin mehen mimag, umimagon, ubalav hachim me'achlu tamir. I will say, since you're being metam, Beis Shammai says, we're allowing the Am Ha'aretz to eat his own food and drink. We'll see why in just a moment. Aval nitar es akli, shetar asulacha velo. But should we go ahead and be mitar the kli, which can be used by the Am Ha'aretz and for chaverim? So we'll say the point of this entire brisa was what? To show you that chaverim do borrow utensils from Am Ha'aretz. If that's the case, then we shouldn't even allow the Am Haaretz to be Tova Kli B'soch Kli for Truma purposes, because Lamaisa, again, a Chaver may come along and end up borrowing that Kli. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yeshua says, Boshni Midivreichem Beishamai. Rabbi Yeshua, listen to this. So we're continuing now. Rabbi Yeshua says, Beishamai, I'm embarrassed because of your words. Which is another way of saying, I profoundly disagree with what you're saying. Ef Shar Isha Lasha Ba'areva. Isha Va'areva Tmein. Tmein Shiva. Ubatsek Tahar. Also, listen to this. So, Rabbi Yeshua gives an exaggerated example. He says, so can you imagine this case for just a moment? So, a woman is going ahead and kneading her dough in a mixing bowl on the second floor. The corpse is downstairs in the house. There is an earthenware utensil plugging up the opening. The woman is mixing. Yeah, you got it. If you have stuff to do, you have stuff to do. Right? You know, she's upstairs again, kneading the dough. So, listen to this. So says, according to you, a woman is kneading her dough in a mixing bowl. The woman and the mixing bowl are tameh, shiva, meaning because again they came in contact with corpse tumah, so they have 7-day tumah. Ubat sek tahar, but yet what? The dough is going to be okay. Right, those based on what Beishamai said before, lemaisa again, remember that kli cheres does help for Oakland, does help for food. Similarly, lugin mali mashkin, if you have again a jug that is filled with liquids, so lugin tame tumashiva, umashkin tahorin, then ultimately again you're going to tell me the jug itself is going to be tame for a 7-day tuma, but yet again the liquids are going to be taras. I mean, Rabbi Shua says it's ridiculous. Yeshita doesn't make sense that the klicheres goes ahead and helps for the food and drink, but the utensils itself and the people will all become tame for shiva. So listen to this. Lug is the jug. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, no. Lugin is just the utensil. The idea is the klicheres that's in the aruba, the klicheres that's actually in the skylight, that's what's blocking it. But the tumah still ascends. But when the tumah comes up, the tumah is metame the other kalim, non-cheres kalim. But yet again, mashkin and oakland remain tahar. Mitbalo talmud echad mitamidi Beis Shammai. So we'll say one of the tamidim of Beis Shammai went ahead and engaged Rabbi Yeshua in an explanation. Amar lo, over the chav talmud shel Beis Shammai. So again, the talmud said, I will tell you the reason of Beis Shammai. He's talking to Rabbi Yeshua. So Amar lo, Amar, Rabbi Yeshua says, speak. Amar lo, kli tamei chotzeitza ino chotzeitza. So the first thing the talmud says to Rabbi Yeshua is, does a tamei kli have the ability to serve as a barrier in front of tumah or not? Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua responded, of course, again, a kli that's tameh itself does not have the ability to be chotzeitz b'fnei atuma. Kli shal ama aretz tameh or tahar. Is the kli of an ama aretz tameh or tahar? Amar lo, to which Rabbi Yeshua responded, tameh. V'im ata omer lo tameh, klum mashkiach alecha. And again, and if you're going to go ahead and say that it's tameh, does it help in any way? V'lo od, elo shim ata omer lo tameh, Omer lecha shalita. I'm sorry, let's go back for just 1 second. So I'll say the first thing the Talmud demonstrated to Rabbi Yeshua was what? That if you hold that the kli of an Am Haaretz is tameh, and you hold that a kli that is tameh doesn't have the ability to be chotzeitz bifnei hatuma, then what? Then a tameh kli cheretz doesn't have the ability to stop the spread of tuma. That's fine. What's the incongruous part of Beis Shammai Shita? The incongruous part is what? Is that it does work for Ochlin Umashkin, meaning the fact that Beis Shammai says that a kli cheres of an Am Haaretz doesn't have the ability to serve as a barrier for Tumah, that doesn't bother us. Why doesn't that bother us? Because we can accept Beis Shammai's premise that the kli of an Am Haaretz is Tameh, a Tameh kli can't serve as a barrier. But what about the fact that it does serve as a barrier for food purposes, food and drink, to which the Gemara says, and in that case, let's play this forward. Says the Talmud to Rabbi Yeshua, and if you're going to tell the Am Haaretz that his food and drink are tamei, klum mashkiach alecha, do you think that the Am Haaretz is going to listen to you? V'lo od elishim atar lo tamei. If you tell him his food is tamei, he's going to tell you, omer lecha shalitar v'shalcha tamei. You know what the Am Haaretz is going to say to you? The Am Haaretz is going to say, you tell me my food is tameh, my stuff is tar, your stuff is tameh. Zeu taiman shal Beis Shammai. So we'll say, Beis Shammai's logic is like this. Lemais, again, in a purist model, you would say that not only does the kli cheres of the ama aretz, not only is it not a barrier for tuma, but in fact it should not serve as a barrier for anything, because again the kli of an ama aretz is assumed to be tameh. But because we know that the ama aretz is not going to listen to some of the stringencies involved here, therefore what? Therefore we dispense with them. Therefore the ma'isa we say that although it's not a barrier for tuma, the food and drink of the ama aretz, which again the chaver is not going to touch anyway, no one else is going to touch anyway, the food and drink of ama aretz is tar for who? Tar for who? For the ama aretz himself, because he's not going to listen. That's the logic of Beis Shammai. So they give. And his utensils will become tameh. Correct. Correct. It's already tameh. Meaning the kelim of it, that's already established, that the kelim of an ama aretz already are tameh. Halak Rabbi Yoshua v'nishtateach al kivrei Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua had profound charata because he spoke so negatively about Beis Shammai. He went and he prostrated himself literally on the graves of Beis Shammai. So it must have been, I don't know, on Shammai himself or on some of the students of Shammai. Amr na'anesi lechem atzamos Beis Shammai. I have spoken disrespectfully to you, bones of Beis Shammai. Umas tumo shelachem kach. If again your hidden words, meaning if you're not so obvious halachos, are so profound, kach mifurashos alachas kama v'kama. All the more so, again, the halachos that you say that are more explicit, of course, are profound. Amru kol yomav hushcheru shina mipnei ta'anisav. Tani Yosef, and I'm also saying, Rabbi Yoshua apparently was so upset that he spoke so negatively about Beis Shammai that he engaged in a series of fasts and his teeth were blackened from malnutrition. I just want to have to stop over here for today. Now we'll pick up here tomorrow. We'll be all right because it gets a little shorter. I know it doesn't. All right. Hopefully we'll have a long break in Mirza Hashem on Yom Kippur. All right.